Real stories, reliable information, the latest technology and news. Welcome to the Plastic Surgery Hub podcast, connecting people with practitioners.
Hey listeners, so we're here today once again, and we're having one of my favourite topics, which is the weight loss patient topic, of course, because true to my heart, because I am a weight loss patient myself. And today I'm going to be talking to the beautiful Raquel, who I actually met on one of our Facebook groups. And Raquel's had an amazing transformation. She's had a lower body lift and a thigh lift as well, which I'd forgotten about until today, with specialist plastic surgeon Dr. Simon Overstall, who's based in in Melbourne, at Cabrini-Malvern in Melbourne. So we're going to have a bit of a chat with her today, and she's going to give us the full rundown of what her experience was like. So welcome, Raquel.
Thanks, Trish.
So nice to have you on here today. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So tell us, first of all, you must have lost weight. So you were you chubby for most of your life, or you just put on weight, or what made you come to the decision to lose weight, first of all?
Okay, so I had bariatric surgery in September of 2016 with Paul Burton, also at Cabrini in Melbourne. So I'm 165 centimetres tall. I was 165 kilos.
Wow. So that's like 5'3" and I don't even know what it is in pounds, but that's a lot of kilos.
Yeah, it is a lot of kilos. So obviously had the bariatric surgery, lost quite a bit of weight. I was 83 kilos when I went in for surgery for my lower body lift and thigh lift. They took 7 kilos of skin and 2 litres of fluid. So quite a bit.
That's a lot of excess stuff to be carrying around, hey?
Absolutely.
So how long ago was your surgery?
It was just 13 days ago.
So you are fully in recovery mode now?
Totally in recovery mode. So right. Happy to answer any questions that you've got about the process.
Oh, awesome. Because usually we get people like before they're going or, 3 months after, you kind of forget. So tell us, we won't even worry about why you decide to have it, but let's go from day one. So when you woke up from surgery, what did you feel like? Like, for how long was the surgery and what did you feel like when you woke up?
Okay, so I was in for, I think, about 8 hours. I woke up at about 9 p.m. So I went in at 10:30 a.m. And I personally woke up at about 9:30 p.m. in recovery. I had lost a little bit of blood, so they gave me a unit of blood on the night, so I remember that. And then I woke up in great spirits. The nurses were fantastic. They let my fiancé come and see me as well. They don't normally do that in recovery, so it was really nice to say hello. And next thing I know, I'm back asleep, woke up in the ward with my mum and sister and my partner, and that was about 10:30 at night. So it was really nice that they let them stay. The next morning I woke up and it was like I was in the best spirit. Simon was there. He's a great surgeon, absolute magician. He came in. I was so happy to see him. I was a little bit dizzy, a little bit nauseous, didn't really want to eat. I know I've heard a couple of other patients have woken up, really wanted to eat. I actually lost my appetite for a couple of days. But look, I woke up in great spirits. Did need a little bit more blood. And after that is when I really started to feel better. So day one was great. Day two wasn't so great. I felt really tired and just not happy. And that's when they gave me the other 2 units of blood. But after that blood, I was back to me again within a few hours.
Okay, so basically the first day, it was good, but you obviously must have needed a little bit of something extra. So they gave you another 2. When you say 2 units, so is that like a litre?
I don't know if it's a litre, but I know it's a bag.
Okay.
My hemoglobin was extremely low. So they would sit you up and get you up out of bed. I did try and sit up on day 2, but I was so dizzy, and that's when they checked my blood and said, maybe we'll give you another day. And then on day three, I was like, can I sit up now? I was keen to stand up. And after they gave me the blood, after a couple of hours, there was no pain. They were brilliant with the pain management. Just a little bit of discomfort if you move. You know, you've got stitches around the front, stitches around the back. But, yeah, no, absolutely no pain, which is something that I really want to reiterate to anyone who's scared. I was really scared of being in pain when I woke up, and there was none.
Wow. And did you have the pain pump, or like they just managed your pain from the beginning and it worked, kind of kept you, held you through?
I don't believe Simon's team like to give the pump buttons. They are quite good in managing with other ways. I think I had oxycodone for the first couple of days, and then it was endone. I've still currently got endone, but I don't need it. So I'm just on, I think it's Panadine Fort if I need it, and Panadol and Nurofen. But the second week, if, you know, nearly 2 weeks, I don't actually need that much pain relief.
Yeah, right. So what does it feel like when you, like, because I can't even imagine what it must feel like to have stitches around the front, stitches around the back. Like, how are you lying down? Like, where's your, like, are you touching any surfaces with your scar, or what are they provided for that? Or what do you have to do for yourself? And are you home yet?
Yes, I came home on the seventh day. I guess while you're laying in hospital, you're not really moving. So there, you don't really feel much around the belt where the, I also had a fleur-de-lis tummy tuck as well. So as part of my lower body lift, I've also got the stitches down the front. So I forgot to add that in. So he's taken like a triangle from the front.
Okay.
Because there was so much skin. But look, around the back, around the actual belt where the stitches are, I actually don't have much feeling at all, to be honest. It's quite a weird sensation. I can scratch, but I don't feel it on the surface as if I was to scratch my thigh. But I can feel it sort of deeper. It's quite a bizarre feeling. But no pain when you're laying down. It's only if you need to sit up. So the first few days sitting up and standing, there's a little bit of tightness, a little bit of pressure, but not pain per se.
Yeah, right. So have you got, like, have they covered you in, like, have you got a tape or like, are you using any creams or, like, what's covering your line?
So I've got a little bit of a mix at the moment because, so once I showered, I was covered in a tape called MeFix, which is like a white waterproof tape. Got internal stitches as well as some external stitches. So I did pop open. So I've got some external stitches on the back. That's got a micropore tape over the top, which is like a waterproof skin colour tape. And then I've got some white knee fits from that first week in hospital. So as that falls off, I cover that with the micropore tape. So I'm at a little bit of a mix at the moment. The only creams I'm using is moisturiser. It's amazing how dry my skin is around the surgery areas, like my legs, my belly. But I'm also wearing a compression garment, so and that's for 6 weeks. So I just like to keep nice and moisturised, but no other creams.
Okay, so he's only said to wear a compression garment for 6 weeks.
6 weeks at this stage.
Wow. Because I thought it was about 12, but I suppose everyone's different. Hey, I mean, I bet you won't be able to wait to get it off 6 weeks, let alone 12 weeks.
Well, that's actually, you do get used to it. While I was, as the swelling comes down, it's actually becoming more and more comfortable. A friend of mine had a similar surgery and she didn't actually want to take her garment off after the time. She was so used to having that tight fit, but it'll be interesting to see where we're at that time.
I can imagine. And how does it feel with all that skin gone? Because, I mean, like, I see lots of photos, but that photo of you just pulling up your skin, like, as if it's a separate, like, cause it was almost a separate entity from you, wasn't it? Even yeah. Although it was attached to you, you could tell it didn't belong there because it was just so much of it.
Yeah, that's right. Look, I have to say already my confidence has just skyrocketed. I've been able to buy clothes. So obviously we're losing so much weight. I got myself down to, you know, like a chubby sort of weight. I do CrossFit, so I'm quite fit. I've got quite a bit of muscle definition under all of that skin. So it's nice. Oh, well, now there's a bit of swelling, but it's nice to be able to see. I look down, I can see the top of my legs. I've literally never been able to see the tops of my legs, amongst other things, of course. Obviously, there may be kids listening to this. To be able to look down and see something that I've never actually seen because I've always been big, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the swelling to go down and see what I really look like under all of this.
And did he say how long it takes for the swelling to go down? Because I've heard so many different stories, like, and I think it's different for everyone as well, but you got any idea how long, like, cause it's going to take ages for the swelling to go down, really, isn't it?
It is. One thing that they don't sort of tell you is fluid retention and how your body will deal with that. So I was actually standing in Rebel Sport yesterday, looking at some new clothes, and all of a sudden I could feel like a hot trickling liquid down my leg. I'm like, I'm not peeing myself. And I'd actually busted some fluid. I didn't feel anything. It didn't hurt. But because I am so swollen, it's sort of found a path out. I've contacted Simon and he said, look, that is normal. Just cover it up. It's just a clear liquid, nothing scary. It doesn't hurt. But when I do see him next week, he's going to drain some fluid out. So everyone's different. He has said that the swelling for everyone is different. Just sort of walk a little bit, not too much. Don't be overactive, but just make sure that you do get a little bit of movement in to help your body with dealing with that extra fluid.
Okay. So, yeah, you're right. Everyone's different and it's going to take a different amount of time for swelling to go down. But looking, I mean, I only saw that one after photo of you. When did you take that, the one that you posted on our group? Was that
I took it on the day, so...
Oh, my God, are you serious?
Yes.
That's amazing that you were even standing up on the day. Oh, I don't know, I just can't
even... I know, I took it on the day I posted. So, the day I posted in the group, I was just so excited. So I did add there was a third photo, I think, that I added with my belly button showing. Because the tape actually fell off, I took the opportunity to take a photo. So that's not actually my real belly button, by the way. Yeah, he wasn't able to save my real belly button because the cord was too long. So I'm 33. I've literally been obese since I was about in kindergarten, so maybe 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. My family are all quite large on both sides. So my sister was able to lose 50 kilos just with diet and exercise. Mm-hmm. I'd yo-yoed for so many years and I was at the stage where I was 165 kilos. I was diabetic, high blood pressure. I was sick. A friend of mine told me about bariatric surgery, went for the plunge, and I'm so glad I did. So if anyone's actually considering, if they're at that stage where they want to do something, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, totally. And how did you, like, how long did it take for you to lose that weight? Because you've obviously gone from 165 kilos to what?
About 82. So 82. Yeah, once the swelling goes down, I should be around the 73, 74, maybe even 75 mark.
Wow.
Yeah, which would be amazing.
And so tell me, what about, because I know that as a bariatric patient, like sometimes you're not getting all the nutrients that you need. So, like, I know you need to take vitamins the rest of your life and all that sort of stuff, but how, sometimes a lot of the bariatric patients have a real problem with wound healing or, you know, like the wound closing over or anything like that. So, like, are you taking any vitamins or anything to kind of stop that, or you're making sure you're getting enough food or nutrient and stuff like that?
So, look, I'm very fussy in what I eat. I generally eat a ketogenic diet, which is extremely low carb, high fat and moderate protein. Now, it's not recommended for everybody, but I tend to put on weight very quickly with carbs. So I've sort of changed my diet to make sure that I'm eating a lot of greens. Green smoothies, fruits and vegetables just while I'm in the recovery phase. Since my plastic surgery, I haven't actually been able to tolerate my vitamins. They've made me want to throw up when I have them. So I'm just trying to eat as balanced as I can, eat a rainbow every day. And that's off the back of a nutritionist's advice. She basically said, look, if you can't tolerate the vitamins, make sure that you're getting your vitamins from your food, even if it means, you know, green smoothies, which I'm not the biggest fan of, but to get those extra greens and iron and that sort of thing in.
Especially if you're prone to low iron, which sometimes us former chubbers can be prone to low iron. I don't know what it is. It's just one of those things. I'm not everyone, I know, of course, but
I'm one of them, absolutely.
Me too,
It's hard to get it back up. So do you tolerate, can you take iron supplements? I'm curious to know.
I hate that. I just don't like that metal taste.
Yeah.
I do make sure that I eat, and I used to be vegetarian.
Wow.
But I thought, I need to eat meat because I need to, you know, I tend to have low blood pressure as well. So I find that eating meat, and not a lot, but just making sure that I eat meat and I get my iron, you know, from my food, because I hate the iron. So like, I just can't, they make me feel sick.
Yeah, they really do. I've experienced that. I was fine. I had some issues straight after my bariatric surgery, but after about maybe 9-10 months, I was able to take vitamins. But since the plastic surgery, I've actually found the restrictions come back. Maybe it's the garment I'm wearing, but the original tight belly feeling from the bariatric, I had a gastric sleeve. So I'm actually eating a lot less as well, which is quite bizarre.
You want to make sure you're getting all your nutrients now, especially for your wound healing, you know?
Yeah, which is why I'm having the smoothies. I sort of force them down slowly. It takes quite a while to drink it. But maybe about 45 minutes to get it in.
Yeah, right.
For a nice tall glass. So it's I think the glass is just under 400 mil. It's quite a large drinking glass. But yeah, there's banana, well, so half a banana, orange, spinach, coconut water, psyllium husk, which is vital for fiber. But yeah, quite a bit of spinach and kale or whatever greens. If I can, I'll pop parsley in there as well, because that's quite high in a lot of nutrients.
Yep.
But I can't tolerate that every day.
No, totally. And you know what? I think you can actually buy a liquid multivitamin if you want to go hunting it down, because they've got them at some of the health shops and they're really easy to tolerate.
Okay, that's really good to know. Thank you.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, so you had a thigh lift as well?
Yes.
But can I ask you, was that at the same time?
It was at the same time, yes.
Whoa, that's huge. Yeah. It freaks me out when I hear people, the body lift on its own freaks me out enough, and then to have the thigh lift at the same time. So where are your incisions? How did he cut your thighs?
So with my body shape, my thighs are from the groin area down just sort of at my knee level. And then I've also got incisions just on the outside of my thighs. So I did actually ask him, so why do I have these ones on sort of on my hip bone? Or maybe just under my hip bone. I sort of can't feel my hips at the moment. I'm like, why do I have them? And he said, well, look, as I was doing the thigh lift, there was also a bit of lipo in there as well. As I was doing it, your skin sort of puckered up. So, and I gave him full permission to do whatever he needed to do to give me the best result. Yeah. So I've got some small incisions just on the side where he's sort of re-tightened everything up. So from the groin down to the knee, and then on the sort of outside of my hips. And then for the tummy, I've got from just under my brow line down to the groin area, and then from hip to hip all the way around.
Yeah, right. So you've got a few places where you've got a T-junction, hey? So it's your belly?
Yes.
But not the top. So the top of your thigh, so it's gone from your inner knee right up to the top of thigh. Have you got anything cut across there or just got pulled sideways? Like, you know where your undie line is on your leg? Is there anything there?
Yes, there is.
Okay. So you've got a few T in sections as well.
Yes, I do.
But look, you sound like you feel like 30 days. Oh, sorry. What was that?
It's not as bad as it sounds, really.
No, I'm just saying because like 13 days post-op, with all of those T incisions, you sound like you're doing amazing. Raquel, you sound like you're doing amazing. I'm so impressed.
Been shopping and all sorts of things. Apart from, I guess, a little fluid leak yesterday, it's actually been really good to be up and about. And you know, they teach you. I've heard previous interviews where people have had physio and things like that. That wasn't sort of required without a muscle repair. Mm-hmm. So they do sort of teach you how to stand up and sit down and be careful while you're in hospital. And the nurses are great for all of that. And they sort of say, look, when you can, walk. And I think getting up and walking through hospital was the most important thing, because once you've got the confidence to move, you can keep moving, and then you know when you're tired to sit down and rest. I just wish my house would clean itself.
You might need to get yourself a cleaner for a couple of hours, love.
My fiance is fully capable of doing it. So by once he finishes work, the other thing. So he's actually gone back to work today. So I had someone with me for 2 weeks. So he was with me for the week in hospital and then a week at home. It's actually my first day home alone. My mum dropped in for a coffee this morning. But look, obviously you can't bend over and things like that, but I've got like a grabby thingy, so if I do need to pick something up off the floor, I've got that there.
That's that little tongs kind of thing with the handle.
Yeah.
So you're at home. So tell me roughly what your day is. So you wake up, and of course you're just lying down. So the first thing you do, you get up, go to the toilet.
Yes. And then so. With my shower and getting changed, because I can't bend over, I still do need a little bit of help getting dressed. I'm sure if I really needed to, I could use the tongs to help me get dressed. But my partner was able to help with that. I guess, you know, then got up, had my shower, got ready, had breakfast, and then had a coffee with my mum. Got some food on the stove. You can do things and then go sit down and have a rest, but I feel quite good. I think, you know, having a level of fitness before you get the surgery will make a big difference as well. So even if you're just walking every day before you get something done, at least your body will be able to recover a little bit better.
Yep, and I think that's a real testament to you as well, because, like, I mean, that's not to say that people who don't look after themselves really well have a you know, not everyone has a good recovery, if you know what I mean, but you're a testament as well in the fact that you know you're really fit going into it, really fit going out. Has he said how long before you, like, are you desperate to get back to exercise, or you're not even thinking about it, or has he said how long before you can get back to doing stuff, or like when are you gonna start? So you're just basically getting up, doing a few things, going and lying down, getting up, doing a few things, going and lying down, and it goes on like that pretty much all day.
Yeah, pretty much. Every day I can do a little bit more. There's been, you know, days where I've needed pain relief. I would wake up really sore, really stiff, or just not sleep very well. But I guess as the days have been progressing, I've been getting stronger and better and being able to do a little bit more things. I think a lot of it's confidence too.
Yeah.
Once you've done something once, like I was really scared to sit down. I've got I don't know what you'd call them, but they're sort of like a seat aid for the couch, and I've got one for the toilet as well.
Okay, so it just helps you to kind of sit down.
Yeah. So you know, trying to stand up without using those, and you know, trying to sit down just on the chair. I think once you've done it once, you're confident to try it again or to sit somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so can I ask you, how long did Simon say before you can go back to, like, are you working? Can you go back?
Yes, so I work in a bank. I've taken 6 weeks off work. I think he said even for exercise, 6 weeks you should be able to walk and do a lot of things. But for the CrossFit and the heavy lifting, he wants me to wait at least 8 weeks. Just in case. So
that doesn't even seem that long. 8 weeks, that's still really quick.
Yeah, look, and I guess as well, this is all subject to how you recover. Yeah. You know, these are just guidelines. Everyone recovers different. Something may come up. You know, I've split my back stitches twice. Once was in hospital where I went to the toilet without asking for a nurse, and I didn't realise that I needed a little bit of an extra height. I didn't even feel it happen, to be honest. But yeah, I think one really important thing is listen to your nurses. Don't do too much too quick. It's not a marathon. Take your time, because I didn't. And yeah, I split my back. So just make sure that you do listen to the nurses, because they do know better than you.
that sounds a bit freaky. So you split your stitches at the back from not getting the help that you needed. You just wanted to be a bit more independent. Thought, I'm okay.
I'm fine. I don't need the help. You know, I don't want to bother anyone. By doing that, I ended up I had the option. I could either go back into theatre, and I said, no, look, you can just pop in a local and stitch it up. It was only a couple of stitches across the back, and it's more just to reinforce. So the way Simon explained it is they want to make you as tight as possible and give you the result that you want. But look, obviously there's a fine line between how much they can take off and how much you still need to be able to move and do your bits and pieces. But my biggest advice is just follow the instructions. Don't try and be a hero, because you won't.
Yeah, totally. So do you feel like, I can only imagine because I've never had that surgery, but do you feel like shorter? Also, like, because I know that when you're hunched over and you had a tummy tuck, you kind of feel shorter because you're bent over. But I'm just thinking, when it's all around, do you feel shorter, or like, because you're feeling so stretched, or do you feel taller, or?
That's a really good question. I am still sort of hunched over. I'm standing up kind of straight, but not as straight as I'd like to. Yeah. But when I look down and see how, because I had such a massive stomach.
I know. No offense, but I when I saw your pictures, I was like, oh my God, that's why I had to reach out to you, because I thought, oh my God, they're going to be so good to share for people that, you know, like, because people think, oh yeah, you know, why would anyone want plastic surgery? But it's not, plastic surgery is not always about vanity, you know, it's about function. And the thing is, you know, you've lost that weight, you've done so much for yourself. Why not finish it off, you know?
I can't believe how long my legs are. Like, it sounds quite vain, but like, my legs come all the way up to, I can't explain it. It's just when you've had that much skin, and it's gone, you know, like I said, I've literally never been able to see my belly button. I've never been able to see my lady parts, like my hips. It's just mobility wise. I obviously I'm still recovering, but just I can get around differently. I can wear clothes differently. I've been able to shop in lady shops, and I'm wearing a bright unicorn jumper that I picked up for $10. Like, it's just little things that I would never have been able to do without the surgery. I've been able to do, and I feel like I can actually really start living my life as a 32-year-old. you know, I'm still young enough to have fun and things like that, and wear what I want, literally whatever I want. And that is just, I can't explain how great that is.
Yeah. And so tell me, I know you don't have children, you've got a couple of cats.
Yes.
But do you plan on having children?
I absolutely do.
What did he say about that?
So I had heard in the past that you had to wait 2 years, and he said, absolutely not. Once you're healed, so 6 weeks from your surgery date, you can start trying. Because I was quite concerned, you know. Obviously after 35, they say things diminish, and that would be around the time where I would be planning. So, yeah, it's good to know that anytime after the next 6 weeks, I can start trying. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
And what did he say about, like, after you decide to have kids, like, what happens? Does the skin just keep stretching?
It does. I was actually quite impressed with that as well. I've still got quite a bit of loose skin on my upper back, not a lot, but a bit. So I think that's going to give a little bit of leniency as well. But he does say that your skin will still stretch for a pregnancy, which I found absolutely fascinating. He said, just make sure that you heal up first. And then, yeah, the body does amazing things.
That's amazing. I don't know why I never even knew that question, because I just sort of thought, I don't know why I didn't know the answer to that question, but it was just something I never even thought about. Well, I had thought about it before, but I thought, who knows what happens? Like, so it just keeps stretching forever.
Yeah, it's a good question though. A really good question.
Yeah. Oh no, that's been so interesting. So you're 13 days post-op now. You sound like you're in amazing spirits, because I know people who are months and months out of the same surgery that you've had, and finding recovery really, really difficult, so you've been very, very lucky, as well as, doing all the right things. But even sometimes you do the right things and things don't go right as well, but well done you.
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. I've got to say thank you so much for sharing that with us today, Raquel. I look forward to maybe doing another story with you later on when you're 6 months down the track, fully recovered. Got pregnant maybe or something like that.
I'd love to. Thank you, Tree.
That'd be awesome. Well, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
So listeners, if you're out there, if you want to find out about Dr. Overstord, you can drop us an email to info@plasticsurgeryhub.com.au or have a look. And if you're thinking about it, like, there's a really good success story for you to have a listen to. 13 days post-op, and she sounds like that. I can't believe it. Considering she had a lower body lift and a thigh lift, and I can't wait to put these photos up, because you are just going to be, they're going to blow your mind. Thank you so much, Raquel. Have a great day.
You too, Trish. Thank you. Bye.
The Plastic Surgery Hub podcast, connecting people with practitioners. For more information, visit plasticsurgeryhub.com.au or email info@plasticsurgeryhub.com.au. The material provided in this podcast is general information and does not constitute medical advice, nor is it a substitute for consultation and advice from your own practitioner. It should not be used to diagnose or treat any medical illness. Any medical or surgical decision should be made in consultation with your own doctor or practitioner, and not based on the materials provided in this podcast.